Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 66, and I am Libya, your host, and this week we have returning guests.
Hi, I'm Josh from Los Angeles.
And I'm Tom, also from Los Angeles.
And I'm Ronnie, calling you from Vegas.
Hey. Welcome, Vegas people. All right. In the news, we have the U.S. MTV version of Skins was canceled due to parental controversy.
Oh, plus it was not that good.
It was also not that good.
Yeah, I tried to watch the episode, and I'm like, this is boring.
Yeah, I was kind of the same way. I think I got through maybe 10 minutes.
I didn't even try. All I know is the producer said they were worried about being convicted of child pornography. Oh, man. Well, because apparently the parents were threatening all kinds of stuff, so they
they should have been convicted of bad TV.
Yeah, but you know, but MTV still shows Jersey Shore, so how the reason they're not convicted for
does
bad TV
MTV
over that?
MTV still show music videos?
No, you got to go to MTV 2 or 3 or something.
That's what
like
you
that
have VH1 for.
Why do they call it music television if they got all this scripted programming?
They don't. They call it MTV the same way Kentucky Fried Chicken can no longer call itself Kentucky Fried Chicken. They just call it KFC.
Good distinction.
Instead of Kentucky Fried Rat.
Thank you. All right. The next piece of news is that William Shatner is guest starring on Psych.
Yay!
He's playing Julia's father.
Oh.
Really?
Grandfather? Come on.
He did it a little late in life, and I'm sure he's trying to play younger than he actually
is.
Let's
keep it real, folks.
I know. But
all you have to say is Shatner, and I'm there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I watch Psych
it's
anyway.
It's Psych, and I'm there.
Yeah. Psych plus Shatner, I'm definitely there.
The last piece of news I have is that Mark Pellegrino. From Jacob from Lost.
Lucifer from Supernatural.
And was it Bishop on...
Bishop on Being Human.
On U.S. Being Human.
U.S. Being Human.
I don't acknowledge that last one, but he is now going to be a regular on the last season of The Closer. He's a fantastic actor. I love him.
He needs to get his own show.
Yes,
he
really does. I do. I agree with you.
He does.
I like him playing a good guy with flaws versus a bad guy.
I liked him as Lucifer. He was good as Bishop in Human.
But if you look at the things he's done so far, especially in the genre, when he plays a good guy who's got a kind of like Timothy Oliphant. Timothy Oliphant is a lackluster bad guy, like in Die Hard 4. Yeah. But as Raylan Givens, who's a good guy with this huge dark streak, or as the guy on Deadwood, he's much more fascinating to watch.
I don't know. I thought he was great as Lucifer. Because I swear, man, there was a point where when he's giving his side of the argument, I was like, oh, man, that makes total sense.
You know what?
And then I was like, wait.
I think we can just like say for the record, Mark Pellegrino is awesome in anything
he does.
And needs
his own show.
Yes.
He definitely needs his own show.
I don't care what kind of show, put him on a show.
Good guy, bad guy, good twin, bad twin.
You know, CW presents Mark Pellegrino reading the phone book. I'm in.
Did you have some news?
I have one piece of news. Lawrence Fishburne has ankled CSI. He is
ankled?
Ankled is the fancy showbiz term for quitting something.
Oh, okay. Oh. I was like I was thinking of like a mobster term where you take somebody out at their ankles or something.
But it's kind of an interesting blow. The CSI franchise is really CBS has milked that cash cow till her teats have bled.
Thank you for that analogy.
Well, CSI New York almost got canceled.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but it's still kicking.
CSI Miami only has a 19-episode pickup for next season. And CSI, the mothership, has moved to Wednesday night. So it's interesting how CBS and NBC put all their eggs in these crime franchise baskets. We're down to, what, one Law & Order now?
Yeah, and that one, they just signed Ice-T for 2 seasons. And I was like, Ice-T is not what makes that show.
Somebody brought up a really interesting point on EW.com, though. Why not let Ice-T replace Christopher Maloney?
Because he's not that good. I am a big Law & Order fan. I've watched every single episode of that show.
You don't think he could?
He is not a good enough actor to carry that show. He can't do it because I will tell you this, the weakest episodes of the show are the ones where he's the lead.
See, I don't watch it that much.
Oh, I watch every episode. And they'll have episodes where they had an episode where his son was in danger or had killed somebody or whatever, and we're following him and him trying to do it. He can't do it. Huh. He cannot, like, if he just has passing dialogue and he's just like, hey, let's go. He's fine with that. Snarky pass off. But if he actually has to do drama where we actually have to care about what's going on with him, he can't do it. And he can't carry that show.
It's kind of interesting that of all the Law and Order franchises, that's the one with the fewest cast changes overall. And now they've got this double whammy of both leads
leaving, and it's not the same season. Yeah, it's not going to work. Yeah. It's not going to work because the guy who plays Munch is too old. They actually have scaled him back to where he's only in like a couple episodes a season now.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's barely in it now, I think, for health issues. I don't know. They haven't talked about it. It's just he doesn't show up, and then every once in a while he'll be in an episode, and then he doesn't show up, and then every once in a while. And Finn, I like Finn as a sidekick. He's great as a sidekick.
Who's Finn?
Oh,
Ice-T.
He's great as a sidekick, but he's not a lead.
Let me just throw this out there, because she was mentioned as a potential replacement for Lawrence Fishburne. I think she'd be good for Elizabeth Mitchell. I think she'd be good for Mariska.
Oh, you're talking about Law and Order?
Yeah.
I thought you said Lawrence Fishburne.
No. She's been kicked around as a possible CSI replacement.
Oh, okay.
I think she'd be better on Law and Order, though, because I can totally see her doing that. Yeah. You know, she's done...
But, you know, I could see her on CSI, too.
True.
The thing is,
Law and Order, it's about the partnership. It's about the partners... watching, because in the first season, she was still a rookie. Mm-hmm. First season of SVU, she's a rookie. He's experienced. He's teaching her how to work SVU.
See, cases. What I would do is make whoever the new female lead is the seasoned person, and bring in a new younger guy to be the rookie.
And that's fine.
And it's kind of interesting. CSI is in the same boat because Marge Helgenberger has a reduced load this year.
So she's looking really tired on that show now.
Well, it's been, what, 11, 12 seasons?
Something like that, yeah.
Who wouldn't be tired?
Yeah, but I mean, she's looking really worse for wear.
Oh, wow. But yeah, I literally only started watching that show because of Christopher Meloni, because I watched Oz. I watched...
Completely different character.
Completely different character. But I watched Oz, and I loved Chris Meloni on Oz, and so I was like, oh, he's on another show. And at first, it took me a long time because he's so different. But then I was like, okay, I like this character too, because he had these rage issues. And when the rage issues would come out, he would be like Keller. And I'd be like, oh. And then they have the undercover episode where he pretend to be a con. And I'd be like, oh, that's awesome. So I, of course, love those episodes. But then I actually started to like Mariska Hargitay too. And I started to really get into their friendship, their partnership. And that's what kept me watching. It was not the cases. The cases are not that good. It's more about you watch it to watch them work together. And if you're telling me both of them are gone, there's no reason for me to watch the show anymore.
Yeah. Well, okay. Plus it's on NBC. It's like... NBC doesn't have any good shows these days.
Oh, I was trying to see where you were going with that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get on to the shows. We have a few more shows this week than we had last week, but we still don't have a lot. The summer doesn't really start to kick in until maybe next week or so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or the week after, I think. But, okay, what we do have, though, is the mid-season break for Doctor Who.
A good man goes to war.
And I have to say, as much as I was doubting the whole mid-season break thing, this felt like a really big episode. It felt like a finale.
It felt like a finale, because like they brought in like lots of older characters. They brought in a Silurian, a Santarin. They brought in Danny Boy.
I like the fact that you're naming all the aliens. Very good geek cred there.
I am a total Doctor Who geek, and I am not ashamed. And the thing I liked about this episode was, okay, I didn't really like the Silurians. I didn't really like the Santarins. But this episode, they made him cool.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just a nurse. That was really good. I liked the fact that... The moment I knew that I was in was Rory was on on with the Cybermen.
Yeah, and you know, as soon as I saw the Cybermen, at first I was like, ugh, not them again.
Right, and he gives the whole, he's like, I have a question.
I have a message and a question. A message from the doctor and a question from me. Where is my wife?
And then the whole background blows up.
No, that was the best part. Like, they asked, the Cybermen ask him, what's the message from the doctor? Everything, their entire fleet explodes. And then Rory just says, do you want me to repeat the question? It's like, from that moment, I'm like, Rory is now the most badass companion we've had yet.
It was fantastic. What do you think, Ronnie?
Oh my gosh, I loved it, definitely. And I loved how they, like, the humor, because, like, they brought back all the different aliens, the, you know, what they did with the different ones. I thought it was just great.
Yeah. I'd say that everything that was going on in the episode blew me away all the way until the end. But I liked before we get to the very end,
yeah.
I liked that River Song, like, when they go to pick her up,
yeah,
and she's like, yeah, I can't come with you. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, no.
And she, like, gets really dramatic, like, this is the day the doctor discovers who I am.
And we were like, what does that mean?
But, you know, like, I had been speculating about it since The Impossible Astronaut.
Right, well, everybody has. And I thought that the way they had been building this up, I was like, there's no way the reveal of who she is going to be as cool as the build-up. I was like, it's impossible.
Yeah.
And I was correct. No, the answer to the question, pretty much everybody figured it out.
Yeah, I mean, I'd figured it out, like, a while ago, and, like, there was a part of me that was like, God, I really hope they don't go there. I hope they don't do that. Oh, okay. I was like, God, I really hope they don't do that, but then they did, and I have to say, I was okay with it more than I thought I'd be.
I wasn't.
Okay. I was going to say, we're going to have to change the title to A Good Woman Goes to War now that we know the truth. Yeah.
Well, I like the part where the bad guy that kidnapped Amy's baby was all like, I fooled you once, it's great. That was great, but the fact that I fooled you twice is fantastic. And he has this moment where he's like...
I was just rewatching it last night. This is the line. Fooling you once was a joy. Fooling you twice the same way... It's a privilege.
That was awesome. Because then he has this moment to go, well, wait, what? And then he goes, oh, and then he realized what she had done to fool him twice, and that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. All that was just really good. And you know, the whole prophecy of the doctor will have his greatest day ever right before he falls to his darkest day. And you're going, what? And then somebody says something.
The Silurian girl.
Says, like, this is his greatest day. And then Rory's like, crap. Yeah, he was like, oh, crap, this is not good.
You have never risen any higher. Where he's like, oh, geez.
He's like, that means we're ready for the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm assuming that we'll get the fall on the next episode, because he didn't really fall in this episode.
Well, the episode also ends with this really ominous teaser for when it comes back, with just a skeleton hand holding a sonic screwdriver that powers down, and then it just says, time runs out.
We haven't got to that. The only thing is that's weird is for a cliffhanger, we weren't really on the side of a cliff.
No, we weren't. And I'm actually kind of glad that it didn't end on a screamer cliffhanger, it just ended with the reveal.
Right, except that made it seem like the reveal was... Like, I was like, really? We already figured that out. Like, so it didn't feel like...
But I'm okay with that, considering that we have a few months before the next episode, so I'm not, like, freaking out.
I'm interested... Tom is sitting here quietly because he hasn't seen the episode, but you've seen everything up to this episode, so I want to ask you, who do you think River Song is? And I bet you will have guessed the correct answer.
My guess has been that River is his wife from some kind of weird timeline, and also the person who kills him.
Well, we already know that, but who do you think, you didn't, the
impossible... Amy's baby.
And that's what they reveal.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, duh.
Well, I know, but I mean, they made that reveal so big, like, we were not supposed to know this. Is like, oh my God, this is...
But if you're paying attention...
Yeah. I know, but they were seriously trying to make it seem like it was something that we hadn't figured out.
They were, but I mean, they were really telegraphing it to us, especially in the beginning of the episode when they showed that the name of the baby is Melody Pond.
Yeah, her name is Melody Pond. And that's her. She's just like, I'm going to name my child Melody. And then she names the child Melody. And then Rory was like, well, wouldn't that be Williams? And she was like, no. Like,
Melody Williams is a history teacher. Melody Pond is a superhero.
Right. And so she names her Melody Pond, and then she, of course, gets kidnapped, and they translate her name, and her name ends up being River Song.
Yeah, because it's translated from this girl who's from the Gamma Forest, and the only water in the forest is the river. So...
yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, seriously... I was just kind of annoyed that they built this up to be such a big deal when everyone figured this out like 7 episodes ago. Yeah. You know, that's my only issue. But, and I said it takes a little bit away from River's coolness.
Everybody doesn't pay attention as much as we do.
And then the most annoying thing is the doctor, like the moment that the doctor figures it out, he goes, ooh, and he figures it out and he's like talking to River and it's a really cool conversation and then he runs off and then we have to stop for River to explain it to Rory and Amy. Yeah. Yes, I am your daughter by the way of this and this and this. And our name... I was like, are you kidding me? Like, mm-hmm. are we stupid?
Yeah.
It's for, again,
but you see,
we dissect
We get it. We understand. Yeah, like...
you don't...
We overanalyze this in a big way.
I just don't like when shows treat me like I'm stupid. I feel like...
But, you know, to his credit, Moffat has not been treating us like we're idiots in the way that Russell T. Davis did.
I disagree. I totally disagree.
Okay.
But I was actually going to say that Russell T. Davis, when he does his reveals, he just says them, he does them and it's over. And then you don't have a big freaking long conversation about it. He just says, Jack never says, I am the face of Bo in the big head in the jar. He just goes, oh, when I was a kid, I had a nickname, Face of Bo. And then he walks off, and then you just go, and then that's it. They don't sit around and go, oh my God.
That was a cool reveal. I'll
Jack Harkness is the big face in the giant jar.
Yeah. Right. Like, okay, yes. But what I did like was the moment between River and the Doctor where, like, they sort of silently communicate, she is. And I thought that was just such a great scene between them because the Doctor just gets so giddy and he's like, he's like, so you mean when we... She's like, yes. And he's like, oh!
And then he looks back at the parents and goes, oh, I might... Like, he's like, I might be in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... Like, all of that was great and that's why I wanted that to just be the reveal. I wanted that to be it. You know? Like, we get it.
Yeah.
Done.
Well, I think like, there are us, those of us who really analyze it, who would have totally gotten it from that. But then there are the other fans who will be like, what does that mean?
I think this is all part of BBC America's plan to, you know, I hate to say dumb down. But remember, did I not call episode 1 that Saga Cell is here to stay?
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
As obnoxious as it is.
It's absolutely obnoxious.
It's totally obnoxious.
I
worked on a show.
I can't watch it on BBC America because of that stupid
opening. Watch it.
Yeah.
I worked on a show where we had, on JAG, we had to have that for like 2 seasons until CBS finally trusted, okay, they get what the premise of the show is.
Well, the thing that makes this ridiculous.
Just like the episodes are shorter now, too.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that bothers me about this is we're in season 6. I'm like, if you haven't figured out what's going on at season 6, what the heck? Like, come on.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people who are just discovering the show. It's scary. As long as the show has been on.
But, you know, they did that
with... There are people who are just... I showed the Van Gogh episode, Vincent the Doctor, to my class. And people were like, I had students literally like, I went and found this show.
Yeah.
On iTunes or, you know, online. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, anything that gets them more viewers, gets us more seasons.
I mean, I sort of feel like BBC America would be better served by just doing a marathon of those really good standalone episodes.
Right.
Like Blink, Vincent and the Doctor, Dalek.
BBC America.
Doctor's wife.
BBC America would be well served if they didn't hack the episode into so many commercial breaks.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. We're moving on. Thumbs up for the most part for the finale.
I would give it 2 thumbs way up. I loved it.
I would say for the most part, I thought it was a very, very good episode. I was just a little bit disappointed at the reveal at the end.
I'm looking forward to seeing it tonight.
Yes.
And the next episode when it comes back, best title ever.
Let's Kill Hitler.
Let's Kill Hitler.
Great title.
What's the show about?
It's a good title. All right. Next up, episode 8 of Game of Thrones, where we are building up to the finale.
Just for the listeners out there, so you know, Libya and I are both wearing Game of Thrones t-shirts right now.
And without talking to each other at all.
It just happened. She's wearing her Stark t-shirt. I'm wearing my Baratheon t-shirt.
Yes. Wow. My shirt says, winter is coming.
Mine
winter,
says, ours is the fury.
WonderCon.
We got him at WonderCon, yeah.
Did they give him out?
No.
You can buy him at the booth. And you can still buy him online at the HBO shop.
I love this show, but the thing that tripped me out the most is not having any idea where they're... I mean... I haven't read the books.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I suspect what might be coming.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, what do you think is coming?
What do you think is coming?
I don't think Ned Stark is long for this world. I just think he's made some strategic blunders. I mean, when the dude says, the dude looks like Cameron from Ferris Bueller.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
That would be Littlefinger.
Yeah, Littlefinger, yeah.
He says early on, yeah, you shouldn't trust me, and then turns on him and said, I told you not to trust me.
Yeah.
Ned just... He's too good.
Yes.
And he's not necessarily smart.
And yeah, we had this big discussion last week. Ned is too honorable for this situation.
For this
politics.
Realm. And then a girlfriend who's breastfeeding her 10-year-old or whatever.
Oh, Lysa.
Creep. Especially when the kid's like, I'm hungry. Ew.
It just reminds me of like that really creepy character from Little Britain. Like a... He's a grown man and he's still breastfeeding, and all he does is like, want Bitty, want Bitty. And Bitty is referring to sucking on his mama's boob.
Thank you.
In mixed company.
I think one of my favorite moments of the episode was Arya.
Mm-hmm.
When the little punk is trying to turn, you know, plans to abduct Arya and turn her in.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And she inadvertently stabs him.
Yeah.
But the thing is, right, she does know what the pointy end is for.
Yeah.
And I'm like, go girl!
It's like, remember, sticking with the pointy end.
Yeah, and she sure did.
We're talking over Ronnie. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Oh, and actually, I was going to move to another scene, because I have to say Jason Momoa is badass.
Oh,
that speech?
Paul Drogo. Not the speech.
Oh, when he fought the dude with no weapons.
Oh, yeah. And ripped his
tongue out through his throat.
Oh my god. I'm like, amazing.
Khal Drogo rocks my socks, yes.
Oh god, yes.
Ronnie, have you read the books?
No.
One of the things that I find really fascinating is his portrayal of the women. They're so varied.
Mm-hmm.
You have from evil, you know, from evil Sarah Connor.
Yeah.
Cersei. I still can't get all these names apart.
I know.
That's why we're helping you.
Yeah, we've read the book, so like you're sort of like...
To Lady Stark.
Yeah.
That's Caitlin.
Catelyn. To the kids.
Right. Yeah.
And then
Daenerys.
Daenerys.
I love her.
Yeah.
It's funny because you said the first episode that she's like one of your favorite characters. I'm like, I sense that she's not as evil as her brother,
and that
she's not going to be victimized for too long, but she's got that fire in her.
Yeah.
But I just love, I can see why this series is so popular, because it's got great women characters as well as guys.
Right.
Well, I mean, all you have to do is just look at Arya and Sansa, two sisters who are so
different,
diametrically opposed.
But Sansa, I think, is just... I have a feeling, again, I have no insider info. I have a feeling that she's gonna grow up real quick, because she is starting to realize.
Well, she's now just a pawn.
But I think she's starting. It seems like, at least the way the actress is playing it, that she's starting to realize I am a pawn and I'm in way over my head.
Yeah, she does realize she's over her head, definitely.
But she also realizes that she's trapped and there's no way out of this.
Right.
Because right now, she is the only Stark in King's Landing.
Yes. And they have slaughtered everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
That was a trip.
What were you going to say, Ronnie?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I thought you had a comment. yeah.
I amend that. She is the only Stark who isn't dead.
Oh, yeah,
because
I was
going to
say, because Ned is...
Ned is stuck in a dungeon
up
somewhere, and the only person talking to him is Varys.
Yeah.
And I love the conversation between those two, though. You know what I mean? Because he's, you know...
The conversation between them... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, this, you know, I mean, he laid it out again. It's like, you know, basically he told Ned, you're stupid, you know, you're not going to...
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the conversation between them in the book is much more in depth, and it ends with like this great moment, which I'm so bummed was not in the series.
Oh, I think it's going to be in tonight's episode. I saw a preview.
Yeah, I saw he talks to him again. There's like this wonderful moment where Varys like just tells him, "Do you not realize all the people who get killed because of you playing your Game of Thrones?"
Right.
Varys?
Yeah, he's the spy,
the spider,
guy.
The ball guy.
Right.
The eunuch.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because he did say the line that I liked, because he was like, "Varys, who do you serve?"
"I serve the realm."
That was awesome.
Yeah.
And I think he was being honest.
Oh, yeah.
I really wish in episode one that they had had just something like at the beginning of Lord of the Rings, where you have that 12-minute prologue that gets you into the world.
Right? You don't even have that in the book.
Well, still, it would have been helpful for new viewers, because this, now that we're 8 episodes in, as I watch the opening credits, it actually means something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the Eyrie. That's where Caitlin's crazy sister who breastfeeds her way too long son. You know, just so we get an idea, not just of the geography, but who's in what camp, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing that's cool, is that you do understand it more as you watch.
See, I like being thrown in the deep end and having to figure it out, you know? And so, but now I watch that every time. It's like, okay, now this makes sense and this makes sense, but I like the build up to it, you know? Mm-hmm.
And this is another show, too, that I talked about with my screenwriting class, mm-hmm. and several of the kids were watching it, and the ones who weren't were like, started, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, it's amazing."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the cool thing with the opening is like how they switch it with the locations, and I read an interview with
they switch with, the
locations? Yeah, depending on where they go. If they don't go.
See, I didn't even realize that until
Cuz like the first couple of episodes, when you cross the Great Sea, it focuses on Pentos, or is it Pentos?
I don't remember.
And then later when they move from there to Vaes Dothrak, the opening switches from Pentos to Vaes Dothrak.
Ah, right.
Now, I want to know, was the warning to the son in the woods?
The son in the woods.
One of the sons.
Rob. Okay.
Was the warning to go north because that's where Drogo?
No.
It's the wall.
Remember the White Walkers?
Oh, White Walkers. What's up with that?
I can't tell you.
I can't tell you that.
That's rhetorically. But it's interesting because aside from the episode one, mm-hmm. and little hints here and there, This is a fantasy epic which seems to be mostly grounded in reality, and you have this
White Walker zombie thing,
undead thing, not stopping until you set it on freaking fire.
Yeah, that was pretty good, and that's the thing, is they're like, you should be sending your armies
north.
And not south fight, because...
And I can't remember this girl's name. All I know is she's Tonks from Harry Potter.
Knew she looked familiar.
Yeah.
There's a line where they say something like, I don't know if they used it in this episode, but they basically said, it doesn't matter who sits in the Iron Throne if the White Walkers get over the wall.
Yeah. And, like, that was the big thing. Like, the White Walkers got into Castle Black.
Right.
Which means they're crossing the wall.
Right. Well, they set a trap and got them to bring the bodies into the castle.
Do we know what the White Walkers are, or exactly?
You mean at this point in the story?
Yes.
Well,
not really.
I'm still in the second book, and I still have no idea what the White Walkers
really
are.
The only thing you know is the only thing you know is they can bring back the dead,
mm-hmm.
and you know that they've been around for thousands of years.
And they've been asleep for thousands of years.
I saw that.
They only wake during the winter.
Who was the one who said that the White Walkers have awakened their...
It was that girl.
The Wildling girl.
Okay.
Yeah, because they say, basically, the White Walkers only wake up during long winters.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been having long summers, because the thing about the show is that their seasons last for years.
Yeah,
right.
Their summer has lasted for 9 years, and they said
and they've had winters before, because Ned talks about
winter
it. So
is coming.
Yeah, and they talk about it, but the winter has never been that long. And they say the longer the summer, then that means the longer the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So that means they have a long winter coming, and during those long winters, the White Walkers wake.
Mm-hmm. And apparently wreak hell on Westeros.
Can I just say that the networks are going to need to step up their game.
Seriously. Yeah.
Because it would not be impossible to do a network-friendly version of a show like this. And I guess that's what Dark Tower would imagine is planning to do with Dark Tower. But the days of disposable episodic procedurals is waning. Because people are tired. We can turn on a TV anytime in the world and see a Law and Order of some flavor in some different language.
Right.
But people want something new and engaging that's story
with,
and character.
With the advent of like online and DVRing, like you can actually sit and watch a show episode after episode after episode and not just tune in randomly.
Right.
And people are doing that.
Yeah, I agree. And Game of Thrones is a great example of you could edit the show very lightly and be able to put it on a network.
I mean, you can take the more graphic sex stuff out of it and it's not going to impede the show at
all. Well, there's not even that much.
Yeah.
The only thing there really is the crazy kid breastfeeding and...
Well, I mean, you also have like
the random bits of nudity.
Just
when
it's random.
The biggest one would be that scene from last week where Littlefinger pretty much lays out his entire backstory while two girls are going at it in the same room.
That's true, but they let women have sex on TV all the time. It's not a big
deal. But not that way.
Yeah, well, I mean, they showed a bit. So.
That's true. But next week, or this coming up Sunday, it looks like it's going to be really good. It's big battles coming.
The big war is coming. Tyrion is going to be leading his army of sellswords.
I love Tyrion.
Tyrion is the best.
Did you see that Peter Dinklage and his wife were expecting their first kid?
Really? Well, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Well, yeah, he is fantastic.
Yeah,
Tyrion Lannister, my socks.
Our very rare contributor, Brian, he posted a picture on Facebook that was of Tyrion that just said, "Give him the bleeping Emmy already."
he rocks my socks. All right,
yeah.
Let's move on. Two thumbs up for Game of Thrones. Next
Definitely.
Up, we want to talk about The Killing. And this week's episode of The Killing had very little to do with the case.
But it was more engaging than the last few episodes, I felt.
See, The Killing has frustrated me. Because it seems like they're going out of their way to stretch this puppy out.
Well, they have 13 episodes.
Well, they have 13 episodes, and each episode is supposed to be a day.
Right.
In this investigation.
So what is this, day 10 or day
11?
That
was 11.
That was day 11.
That was 11.
That was day 11. Only two episodes left.
Okay.
However, I really enjoyed this episode because we finally got some backstory
of
these two characters
that we've been spending all season with and knew nothing about.
And again, I question the wisdom of putting it so late in the season.
I agree, but I'm still glad that we got to see it because it brought me into the show a bit more than it had the last few
episodes.
And
I have to say that I've hated the partner all season.
I thought about you the whole time I watched it.
I can't say I've hated him, but I've disliked him.
You're supposed to.
Yeah,
I know.
We finally have like a good story of like him and showing his vulnerability.
Right, and I like that moment when he's on the phone where he was like, "She needs me."
Yeah,
and I was like, that. Just that alone, I like him.
He's a good partner.
Yeah, he is a good partner, and it's like he's sacrificing like the little bit of trust that his wife and kid or his ex-wife and kid have for him because he was going out and getting on crack and meth and all that stuff.
Right.
And now he's doing it because he's on a case. Well, but they're going to see that as him back on.
I just felt like he should have just said, "My friend lost her kid and I'm helping her find him."
But something tells me he's not much of a communicator.
When has the show ever been known to take the direct route?
I felt like he made that way more complicated than it needed to be.
Well, that felt in character for me because it seemed like he's just not the kind of person who communicates stuff that directly.
Well, he's a guy first off.
I
thought some of the information I wished had come out a little bit more organically. Some of it came out a little forced.
Right. Well, finding out that the woman on the boat was her social worker, like we should have already.
We should have known that from day one.
We should have known that.
Right. Because
yeah.
I just thought they were friends.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I thought they are friends, but there was... You could tell that there was some kind of relationship that was beyond just mere friendship.
Yeah.
But that
was a crucial part of their backstory we should have known earlier.
Yeah, I really... Because now the character's gone, and it's like, we find this out after the fact?
Yeah.
Like, come on now, that was just ridiculous.
Now, what was interesting about doing this episode this way is the fact that they're putting... Lyndon. Putting Lyndon in the same boat as Admiral Kane, Michelle Forbes' character, the dead girl, the dead girl's parents.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of, and that scene
where she thinks that her kid is dead.
Yeah, yeah. That was a fantastic scene.
Well, I knew it wasn't going to be her kid.
Well, I did too.
Yeah, me too.
But the way they played it was just right.
Yeah,
the way
like
just
the way she broke down was perfect.
Right, because it was she was terrified. Then she was relieved, but all those emotions just came out all at once.
Yeah.
I wish they would make her a little bit less of a biznatch, just in terms of her dealings with just about everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean that coldness to her is kind of interesting.
I mean, I like that about her, and I think the actress is playing her so well.
Oh, yeah.
I like Lyndon. I think that she... Part of her character is that coldness, and when you find out it's because she's been gone from foster home to foster home, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But, again... Episode,
we should have known that earlier.
Episode 11 is not a good time to reveal.
I agree. A lot of this stuff we should have gotten way earlier.
At least hints of it instead of just...
Right.
Yeah.
Because you knew that something... I mean, she's jacked up.
Yeah.
Right. You know she's jacked up.
And that explains why she has commitment issues and why she doesn't want to...
I love his comment, too. It's like, oh, no wonder you ain't had no role model.
Yeah.
And then she got all insulted.
And
I was like,
PO'd.
Yeah, but I mean, he has a very valid point. Like,
he does, yeah.
You know, she has had no one to tell her
what a good parental relationship looks like.
Right, yeah. She has no idea.
And also, the other great line he had was, "Well, at least I answered."
Oh, yeah.
Stop the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good. But I mean, he has a point too. He picked up the phone from her son, and she didn't.
Right.
Like,
what mother
doesn't pick up the phone when their kid calls?
Right. Exactly.
Like, really? Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so moving on. Well, one thing about the killing, nothing really happened in the
episode as far as
the case.
Except for the...
Last second.
She was at the casino.
Yeah.
Well, which, you know, that it sort of like makes me worried that next week we're going to have like the big backstory episode of Billy Campbell's character.
Oh, right. Find out he hangs out at casinos.
Yeah.
But...
I hope not.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's leave that speculation for when we actually have an episode.
Yeah.
Moving on to... In Plain Sight. Does anybody remember what happened in the episode?
I didn't watch
it. This was the one with the con man, and Mary reveals herself to the sort of the big boss guy.
Oh, right.
Yes.
We find out her hatred for all con men because her father's a con man.
Right. And so the case itself was, you know, again, it's the thing with that show is that the case itself is, you know, kind of forgettable. It's just the relationship, especially between her and Marshall.
Oh, Marshall almost lost his mind. Like, the thing that trips me out is Marshall is now, like, he gave up a relationship trying to have a relationship with Mary because she just doesn't see him. So he's like, fine, I'll date somebody else. So he's dating this other woman, and their relationship is okay, but they're trying to force this whole intimacy thing, and I really don't buy it because I don't think he's really in love with her.
No.
And then she's like... She takes off her dress to show she has no wires on, and the look on Marshall's face while he's standing there is just like, you can see the drool coming out of his mouth. Like, he's just like, oh my god, you're naked in front of me. I can't. And he totally lies to her later. He's like, oh yeah, I totally averted my eyes. I was like, you liar. You were staring at her, and your eyes were ready to pop out of your head. And she was like, oh, I thought we were never going to talk about this. So she started dating her ex-boyfriend. Isn't that what it was?
Actually ex-husband.
Right. Because she had been...
This is this week. Okay, yes.
Yeah, so she had been married for all of they were married for 7 days. They got married in Vegas, and on their honeymoon, they got divorced. Which I think only Mary could pull off. I think that's brilliant.
That is. That definitely is a Mary move.
Right. So her sister thinks she's doing her a favor by hooking her up with her ex-husband. And she's like, no, you're really not doing me a favor. But she ends up having sex with him. And then remembering, oh yeah, that was all we had in common was good sex, but nothing else. And so she ditches him.
But I loved during the episode how they had the double date with the four of them, which was
right. So he was trying to get information about her from the boyfriend because he knew her when she was like in high school.
Right.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Turned it around.
Oh yeah, and then she got information about Marshall.
Right. Relationship that's not working out. And then the interesting thing is how the ex-husband comes up and, you know, and says, you know, you just got to go for it, because Marshall's been backpedaling about moving in with his girlfriend.
Well, that's because he said he's a relationship file, so he falls into relationships really quickly and then they all blow up on him, and so he was trying to take it slow. But I think the main problem he has with this woman is that he's in love with Mary. I think that's more of an issue than anything else. Right. Regardless of how slow or how fast that relationship goes, he's in love with Mary, and he loves Mary more than he loves the chick he's with right now. So that's that's more of an issue than and I'm waiting for the cop to figure that out. And I think Marshall's relatively transparent, and all it's really going to take is, because that woman's a cop, is all it's going to really take is all of them in the situation together, and she sees it. Whatever, but I'm a sucker. I keep hoping for Marshall, and I think Mary chooses not to see that he's interested. I think she knows, but she's like humming really loud and pretending she doesn't know.
Women always know.
Well, Mary's different. She's not like the average woman. She's like, she literally has blinders on about a lot of stuff. She really doesn't know certain things. Mm-hmm. But in this particular case, I find it hard to believe that she doesn't know, because he freaked out. What was it? A couple episodes ago, they were doing training.
Yes.
And they were doing hand-to-hand training, and this guy that was training them was a bully, and so he was throwing around Mary and like acting like he was gonna attack her. He had her in a headlock and was really just like was hurting her arm and was like, "How are you gonna get out? How are you gonna get out?" And Marshall lost his mind. He like attacked the teacher and like beat him up. And it was because she had been attacked and he hadn't been able to save her earlier, and he had a flashback.
Right.
And he totally lost it. But I mean, that kind of stuff alone should tell her what's going on with him. And
But the thing is, I don't think that she can allow herself to go there, because Marshall's her safe spot. You know what I mean?
That's
there's
true.
All these other guys and everything else. So she has to not see him, because if something happened and it didn't work out, she wouldn't have anything.
That's true. I mean, he is the... she can't hang out with her family. She can't... Like, her family's not dependable. Nobody in her family's dependable. There's no one that she depends on like Marshall. And if they actually had a relationship, it would blow that up. And so, and she sucks at relationships.
Right.
So, yeah, I can see where she's coming from there. But anyway, good episode. Next week, did you see the preview for next week?
I did not.
Oh, okay, I'll tell you offline. It was pretty good.
Ooh.
Anyway, okay, next thing we want to talk about, did anyone else see The Glades?
Nope.
You guys need to watch The Glades. It's on A&E. It's cool. Well, have you seen anything about it?
Yeah, one of my students was on it last year.
So you did watch an episode?
Yeah, I don't like the lead.
That's actually why I like it. I like the lead. I think
he's a, you know, decent looking guy. I just think he's boring.
Not so much about his looks, because you're right, he's an average looking guy, but it's more of his charm.
Another Australian taking jobs away from an American actor.
That's what it is. You hate the Aussies.
You Australians and your way too sexy accents.
Well, he's supposed to be an American.
He's supposed to be an American.
So he's doing a fake American accent, but I actually like him. I think he's funny. I like his relationship with the nurse.
Now, have they added like a strong secondary female character this season?
In the first episode that I saw, no.
Okay, I was just wondering if they...
His boss is supposed... Oh, well, they're supposed to. I saw a preview for next week.
Okay.
They're supposed to be adding a new character next week, and she's supposed to be like his new partner.
Yeah, I just thought he was... I was kind of bored.
I liked it. I mean,
all right. Well, I'll dive into it next week so we can at least have a conversation about it.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, nothing big happened this week other than the mafia tried to blow him up.
Okay,
which was fun. Yeah. What was great is that he gets to his car and he's like on the phone. He gets to his car. He tries to open the door and his door's locked. And he goes, "Huh, I never lock my door while I'm at the police station." And he knows that there's a mob war going on, so he backs up away from his car, does a little beeper thing to unlock his door, his car freaking blows up. I was like, you could have gotten the bomb squad to take a look at your car.
But you lost a perfectly good car.
I know. I was like, if you suspect that the reason why you're backing away from your car is you suspect somebody's put a bomb in it, Maybe she hit the bomb squad, take a look at it.
Yeah.
And no, he freaking clicks it, and his car blows up. And it was dramatic. You know, I'll give him that.
Well, it's more dramatic than calling in the bomb squad and having them disable it.
That's true. but it was it ends up being a whole Romeo and Juliet murder thing.
Oh, feud.
Well, it wasn't even a feud. Actually, what they thought it was Romeo and Juliet, because there was two opposite mobs that hated each other, and they found out that the girl that got killed was seeing someone, and so they were like, oh, maybe she was seeing someone from the rival family, and that's what happened, and the father found out or whatever. But it actually was that she was dating her bodyguard, which was creepy because the relationship started when she was like 14. So you found that, I was like, ew. So they had been dating for like 10 years. So because she's in college, because her father didn't want her to have anything to do with that life. So he sent her away to boarding school, he sent her away, he sent her away to college, and so, but she had been sneaking back in town to see the bodyguard. And the father found out that she had been seeing the bodyguard and threatened to kill the bodyguard. Or he didn't threaten to kill him, he threatened something. The guy lost his mind and killed her father and tried to cover it. And then when she got older, when she was 24, she figured out, oh wait, he's the one, my boyfriend's the one who actually killed my father. So then she freaks out on him and starts yelling at him, and he ends up killing her. Like, the whole thing was about his relationship with her, and he ends up killing her because she figures out that he killed her father.
I love you to death.
Right, exactly. I was like, dude, you suck at this relationship.
If you really love her, you wouldn't kill her.
You're right, exactly.
Or if you really do, you would.
God. So the whole case was him trying to figure out the pieces and dealing with these two crazy mob people. And because he's from the big city and he's not from Florida, he doesn't speak a word of Spanish, which makes him trying to communicate with these guys kind of interesting. And his the ME, who hangs out with him all the time, is from Cuba. So he ends up being his translator, and he never translates exactly what he's saying. He's like, tell him blah, 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 blah. And you can tell he's totally not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's really pretty funny. Like, I like the ME guy. He's a really good actor. You've seen him in other stuff, too, so he's pretty good.
Okay.
Anyway, like the show. I enjoyed this week's episode. Moving on, watched the series premiere of Teen Wolf.
Did not.
As I threatened to watch last week.
Yes, you did.
it's taken me a couple of attempts, but I'm almost through it.
You still haven't finished the episode?
I have, like, the last part. You know, the good part, the transformation part. The rest is just, like, it's very stereotypical teenaged angst.
It is.
My biggest complaint.
It is. It's exactly what you would expect it to be. The dialogue is pretty sad. The only reason that I managed to get through it, one, there was not that many shows on, and two, I like the lead.
He's the kid from, he was J-Lo's kid in Made in Manhattan or something.
Oh.
That means nothing to me.
Yeah,
he was a child actor, basically.
Okay.
Okay.
I like the kid actor. He has charm. He has, even though his lines are bad, I believe him as a character. I think his quirky sidekick is a little too quirky and too sidekicky.
Too very central casting.
He's trying too hard. I was like, dude, just calm down. Mm-hmm. I understand you're the quirky sidekick.
Ritalin.
I'm just like, but you don't have to be this quirky. Because he does the whole head. I'm doing a head thing.
Oh, God, he's tweaking.
Oh, man. I'm like, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't actually like the sidekick friend. I know I'm supposed to find him funny, and I don't. But I find the lead interesting. I think he's charming. And the guy who changed him, I like him.
He's the best thing about the show so far.
He's fascinating, and he's pretty. But
he was on Seventh Heaven.
Okay, yeah. Never watched.
But he was the kid who played Tom Hanks' son in Road to Perdition.
Okay.
I saw Road to Perdition, but I don't remember the kid.
He was the main kid.
I don't remember the kid.
Okay.
He was good in that. I like Road to Perdition.
Yeah, well, he's good in this, and for
an episode of Castle,
and I don't remember that, but for the Stargate fans out there, the big bad hunter is J.R. Bourne, who used to play Martouf from Stargate, and he's older now, which is sort of weird to see. But what's great is I was like, so he's a hunter? I was like, so we're watching Supernatural? Oh wait, who are we cheering for?
It's just so. It's like you take Supernatural and Buffy and.
You put them all together.
And the concept for the original Teen Wolf in a blender, or Amazon Art, and you get this derivative piece of whatever.
But I have to say, it's not a great show. By anybody's stretch of the imagination, I didn't think it was, but I'm probably going to watch the next episode.
I'll watch it. I'll give it a couple episodes before I completely tune out.
Right.
I will say that I went to the preview at Comic-Con last summer, and I was vastly underwhelmed with the cast in terms of
personality,
intelligence, charm, etc. Except for Tyler Hoechlin, who plays the guy who changed him.
Oh, okay.
He was good, but everybody else is like, it's the kind of thing that I would want to tape and show to my students. This is why you stay in school. So you can sound intelligent and carry a conversation with adults in the room.
All right. Wow. The last show we want to talk about is the season premiere of White Collar.
Woo!
Yay!
Which picks up right where we left off. Yeah, and last season, basically, Peter thinks that Neil stole the big Nazi art thing and we know that Peter or Neil didn't actually do it, but somebody stole it for him and left it for him. And so the big mystery is who the heck did it.
Well,
and
we find much of a mystery.
It wasn't much of a mystery.
Well, they reveal it very quickly, but
I
didn't know it was Mozzie.
I kind of figured
it was
Mozzie.
Either Mozzie or was it Alex?
Yeah, I thought it was Alex, actually.
I kind of thought it was Alex, but I'm like, no, this is more Mozzie style.
Plus, Alex is, you know, she's not a series lead.
Yeah, well, I still didn't know who. I didn't know it had to be somebody in the series lead, so I didn't know who it was, but it was pretty good. They did the lie detector. They're fighting each other, and they're still lying to each other.
What I love about what they've done with this season, they set up this trajectory that basically
puts them up against each other.
Puts them up against each other. And the thing I love, which I've loved about this show since day one, is they are evenly matched.
Yes. They really are.
Usually
yes.
When you see the con man with the police officer or the Fed.
The con man is always smarter. He's always like three steps ahead of the Fed.
And I love that Peter is right there with Neo. It's like, I know you did this. I just got to prove it.
Yeah. Right. Well, he's doubting it a little bit now.
A little bit.
He is, but only because Neil faked a painting.
Well, because Neil knew. He was like, well, I got to give him that doubt.
Yeah.
But again, at the end of the episode, they got the manifest, and that was not on the manifest.
Right.
What was not on the manifest?
They have a manifest for what these treasures that were supposed to be on this
thing. Oh, and that old painting.
And remember, Diana gives him the list, and he says, who else knows about this? Just you, me, and Jones.
Right.
Keep it that way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I just love this cat and... Oh, it's awesome.
They're working together, and they have to work with each other, and they have to trust each other to some degree.
Yeah.
But
I love that
they're always on the edge of that trust.
Right. But I actually miss when they really did trust each other.
Yeah, me too.
Did they really?
And
I do, yeah. I think
last season it felt like they were really starting to trust each other.
Yeah, they really were. And I really liked that part of the relationship as them being really good friends.
Yeah.
And now there's this wedge between them, and I don't like it. I like the competition, but I miss the friendship.
I think it's fascinating. I think it's a really interesting way
It's a wedge, and, you know, at some point Peter is going to figure out that this painting is faked.
Right.
That Neil faked it. And, of course, it's going to come out that Neil has the art.
Right.
Especially now that Mozzie is talking about them trying to fence it.
As soon as they sell it, they're screwed.
Yeah.
That's so stupid.
But you know what? I think Neil is going to know that. Like, I have a feeling Neil is going to, like, try to put the brakes on selling it, and that's going to put a big wedge between him and Mozzie.
Well, the problem is, if you sell it, it's going to let somebody know that somebody has it, and they have to do it in a way that that's not going
to
be tracked back.
That's not
going
to go back to
them.
Yeah.
But how do you do that?
That's going to be
tough.
You
find one of your old friends.
But you know what? That's going to be a challenge for Mozzie.
Right. Yeah, it's complicated, and I like that they've made this season more complicated than normal, which is cool.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining about that.
Yeah.
And I'm into it. I'm definitely watching.
But I'm with you. I miss that we're not going to have that friendship and trust between Neil and Peter that we had last season.
I would submit to you, did it ever exist, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
No. Really, did it ever
exist?
Yes.
The way I saw it, yes.
I don't think so.
I feel it did.
Mozzie, who is Neil's bestie,
right.
Mm-hmm. Mozzie's never trusted Peter. Never, never, never.
Well, that's
Mozzie.
Well, that's Mozzie, but
Mozzie doesn't trust anybody.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Mozzie is basically a side of Neil.
No. Not
yes. I disagree.
I think
Neil, Mozzie represents the worst parts of Neil.
He represents a part of Neil, but Neil is nowhere near as paranoid as Mozzie.
He's not as paranoid, but in terms of the scheming, in terms of basically once a thief, always a thief.
I'm not going to argue that.
And we had that whole discussion with the Billy Dee Williams episode.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to argue with you on that. Yes, once a thief, always a thief. But he does. Their friendship was real.
Yeah.
They had a real, real friendship. I think
it was on the way to. The problem is, Peter never fully trusted Neil. Peter is like, can I truly trust him? And Elizabeth was basically saying, you need to try to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing, I don't accept that they were ever. They were colleagues, obviously, forced together.
Right.
But there was always that tension.
Not always.
I mean, the first season, there was definitely that tension.
I agree with you on that. First season, yes. But it got to the point where they were both willing to die for each other, and they were both like, he gave up a lot of money to save Peter. Was it like $5 million? You don't do that for a colleague.
Right.
He gave up that ring that was worth like $5 million to pay the ransom to save Peter. Mm-hmm. You don't do that. Like, for somebody at my work, dude, $5 million, I'm not sure about that.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
At the end of the day, I think Neil trusts Peter more than Peter trusts Neil.
That's true. And I think that alone tells you that he values Peter's life more than money, more than a score, more than whatever. And he was more. I think Peter
is more resistant to accepting that trust because he's well on his way
because he had spent so many years of his career trying to chase down this.
But I'm just saying you can't say that they're just colleagues.
Right.
You can't say that.
No.
I didn't say they were just. I said they were. I think people are projecting. I think that we are projecting them being besties or this mentor protege or father son relationship. But there was always, Neil always withheld, that's the thing. Neil always withheld things from Peter. Whether it was relationship things like his father.
He's been lying. Yeah. We still don't know about his father.
Yeah, we still don't, but he still, Mozzie obviously does. But so, the thing is, yes, it was fun when they're on the same side and working together and not completely at odds. But deep beneath the surface, they never completely trusted each other. That's what my main point is.
Well,
they never. Yeah. They were working toward that, but it was never quite there.
I'll give you that, and I think that there's a bigger wedge now because I think Neil would want to give the art back to Peter, except in doing so, he'd have to sell out Mozzie.
Right.
Which is interesting because I think that's the. For somehow, I think that that's probably the dilemma that he is going to have to face during this season.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Because the thing is he would have never stole that art on his own. He wouldn't have done it.
That is correct.
And now that he has it, he doesn't want to keep it for himself.
Right. He wants to do it for Mozzie.
Yeah.
But yeah, he would have never. That's the thing is, Neil would have never betrayed Peter and stolen that art
on his own.
On his own. It would have never happened.
Right.
That's why I'm saying they were good. They were friends because he wouldn't have betrayed Peter that way. But now that he has it and he knows that Mozzie stole it, he's not going to give Mozzie up to the cops.
And this ties into my point. The fact that Peter jumped there as quickly as he did.
Which really, like...
That hurts my feelings.
That upset me because I'm like, Peter, you really should have given Neil the benefit of the doubt at least a little bit.
Yeah. He went to the lie detector like that?
Yeah.
No. That's uncool.
Yeah.
That was uncool.
Which, of course, you know, a seasoned sociopath like Neil could break.
Yeah.
I really look forward to seeing what they're going to do with this season because I have a feeling it's going to unfold kind of like Crime and Punishment where you've got the cop who knows, I know you did it, I just can't prove it. And then you've got the criminal who's like, ooh, this is bad. I got to find a way out of this.
But the thing is, we know that Neil's not going back to jail. That's not going to happen.
No. That was, you have no show.
Yeah, right. The show would be over. But, so we gotta find some middle ground there, but I'm not sure what. And also, Peter's pointed out that if Neil actually did it, then he's getting fired.
Right.
Which, again, no show.
Right. Yeah. So, I'm pretty sure that's not gonna happen, but I'm not, something's
I don't know, that could be a good season finale.
or at least mid-season finale.
Yeah.
All right, so wrapping up White Collar, two thumbs up.
Definitely. Ooh. Great start to the new season.
And did y'all hear Eliza Dushku is guest starring in episode 9?
I like her as long as she's a sidekick. She just can't be the lead. Yeah. She's sidekick, she's great sidekick material. Make her the lead and the show crashes and burns.
If she's playing his con artist love interest for the episode, I'm in.
Thumbs up.
And a possible wedge between him and between Neil and the insurance investigator.
Oh yeah. I think she's boring.
She kind of is boring.
She
could be interesting, but she hasn't popped for me yet.
She hasn't made it work for me yet.
Interesting.
Right.
All right. The last thing I want to talk about is I want to get you guys feedback. We're doing a summer program of discussion.
Yes.
And what we're going to do is that each listener or podcaster, excuse me, each podcaster gets to pick two shows, an old show and a current show that's on television right now. You pick those two shows and we put them on a list and we're going to vote for them. And the only stipulation is that the old show has to either be on Netflix or Hulu. So that everybody has access to it.
Everybody has access and you listening can watch along with us.
Right. And so we'll take a vote and figure out which shows we're going to start with. And then we'll watch once we figure out the show, then we'll pick a couple episodes and then talk about those couple of episodes. And we'll do a current and new show, whatever got voted on and picked.
Mm-hmm.
And that opens us up to some interesting discussion. Maybe have some people watch along some old shows they remember well. Something you want to get some friends into and whatever. Basically, it's the summer. You have a little more time. What did you miss? Whether you missed an old show way back in the day or whether you missed a show that's on right now.
Or it's something you want to revisit because you liked it so much.
That's true.
Right.
Just off the top of your head, I'm just curious, what would you guys think of what will your shows be?
Oh, wow. It's not available, but...
What do you mean? It has to be something on Netflix.
Netflix or Hulu. Yeah. I don't think Journeyman's available on either of those. So.
No, it's not. But that was a good one, yeah.
Yeah.
Journeyman, it might be.
I don't think it is. Yeah.
Okay.
I
don't think so. But it was only one season.
Not even a full season. It was
It was just half a season. Yeah.
That kind of, I don't know if I want people to watch that. That didn't end any very well.
No. They ended.
No, I don't remember.
I don't remember the ending.
They ended the first arc.
Okay. You're right. Yes, they did. Yeah.
They did. They found out they were getting canceled, so they ended the first arc, and the last moment is him disappearing.
Right, with his son.
With his wife.
Right. Oh, right.
His son saw him early on.
Well, I thought his son had the power too, right?
Nope.
No.
Oh, I'm remembering wrong. Mm. Anyway.
Okay.
So pick something else.
So we've had our discussion on Journeyman.
something that I have, I bought season one of, but I haven't started watching it yet, but I'd like to see if it holds up, is The Real Bionic Woman with Lindsay Wagner.
Oh.
Because it was one of the rare instances where...
You never watched that as a kid?
No, I did watch it. I loved it as a kid.
Okay. I'd be curious to check that out.
It was one of the very first instances where they had introduced this character on the parent show, not expecting anything, killed the character off, and the viewers demanded, basically, we want a spinoff. So they had to resurrect the character and then spun her off.
Oh, cool.
And she won the Emmy for that role.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is crazy.
Oh, I did not know that.
That I knew, yeah.
What about you?
Well, the one that I would want to do is going to be on Netflix, but it's not on there yet, which is Star Trek The Next Generation.
That'll be next month.
So
we only have 3 weeks.
Yeah, so when it hits, we could do that.
Definitely.
Star Trek is something I think we could all discuss ad nauseum, and especially TNG.
Can we... make a list of great episodes?
Yeah. We're not going to try to watch whole series. Yeah,
No.
Because in the 7 years of the show, literally, there may be about 2.5 seasons worth of great episodes.
I would agree. Of really great episodes, yes.
And then current, is there anything current you can think of?
The one that's current that I want to catch up on but is not available online is a Burn Notice.
Well, that would still be a current show. That would be something you could vote for. So yeah, mm-hmm. You could pick Burn Notice, and then we pick a couple episodes to try to get everybody into that we could talk about.
The other one that I would want to watch, and this that is over, but is not available unless you have HBO Go, is The Wire. Because I've never watched it, and I might just watch it on my own just for my own personal edification.
I'd be in with you to do that.
Have you watched? Do you have The Wire?
No, but I have HBO Go.
Okay.
And let me cast my vote for it's another HBO show, Treme, season one.
I just started watching that. I literally watched the pilot this week.
So great. So amazing.
What about you, Ronnie?
And I was going to say for my old show, and I got to rethink this, but because originally I was thinking Earth 2, which I really loved.
I loved that show. Earth 2 was such a great show.
I was so angry when they picked up Sequest for season 3.
And then canceled Earth 2. Sequest is such a crappy show. But anyway, go ahead. What were you going to say?
And then I was going to say for my new show, actually, I got behind, believe it or not, of all the shows, Fringe. And so I'm going to do that anyway, like over the summer.
Yes.
So Fringe would be your current show?
Yes.
Interesting. My old show, actually, Josh gave me this idea because you were talking about it as listing as possibilities. And I was like, oh, I don't know why I didn't think of that, which would be Babylon 5.
Yeah.
The only thing about Babylon 5, which is difficult.
The first seasons.
Well, no. We're talking about pick a couple of episodes for people to watch.
Yeah, because it's a very arc-heavy show.
No, but in the first two seasons, you can pick those episodes easily.
That's true.
And then
get people into it.
And then seasons 3 and 4,
you have to watch in a row.
You've got to watch straight through.
Actually, I think about midway through season 2, you have to start watching it in a row.
Okay.
Somewhere around in there. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Trust me. I've watched the show like 10 times.
Babylon 5 is on my list because I've watched episodes here and there, but I've never watched it all the way through.
What I would recommend, don't try to do that with season 1. Season 1 is not a good season if you've never seen it. It's fine after you know all the characters. You can go back and watch it and not have a problem.
I tried when it first aired, and I think it lost me because season 1 was so terrible.
It's bad. I will easily admit it.
Signs importance.
That is in season 1 and is necessary.
It's the title episode for season 1.
Okay. Oh, well, see, that's the thing is, Babylon 5, each season has a title.
Okay.
And there's usually one episode that has that title.
Okay.
And season 1 is called Signs and Portents, and there's an episode called Signs and Portents.
Well, okay, those of you who really watch and really know and love Babylon 5, could you do what I did for Deep Space Nine, which is just give me a list of the pertinent episodes for the first couple of seasons that you must watch?
Well, we might have disagreements on that, but I think we will agree in season 1. There's only like 3 episodes of season 1 you need.
Word.
You need Signs of Portents, you need Babylon Squared, and you need the finale, and that's it.
Yep.
Okay. And Babylon Squared I might have seen.
Ironically, you don't need the pilot.
No, you don't need the pilot at all. Because the pilot is awful. It is so painfully bad. But anyway,
Commander Sinclair, personality of this wooden table.
Well, the thing that's great about that is the network basically said you either fire the captain or your show is canceled, and so that's how it comes.
Goodbye.
That's why we got a new captain.
Okay. Who's great
and who is fantastic. I love him. But anyway, so that would be my old show. New show. I would probably pick either Treme or I started watching Parenthood.
Parenthood is really good.
Although,
oh wow,
second season finale was a little disappointing.
It was a little bit, yeah.
But I watched season 1 in 2 days. Mm-hmm. I watched season 1 in 2 days. And then I just started watching season 2 and I think I've OD'd myself right now, so
it's such a great show. And that another old show that I've been watching on and off on Netflix, which it's really sort of a throwaway show you can play in the background, but it's part of my childhood, which I love.
Which is?
Cheers.
That was a background show when it was on live for me.
I know.
Like, when it was on for real, I would actually just have it on in the background.
That was destination viewing when I was in college.
Yeah.
No, I just, like, I literally, I wasn't.
But, you know, it's.
I just would watch it, like, randomly.
It's such a fun show, and it's sort of like a warm blanket for me.
I could see that.
That was one of the few shows where I thought Kirstie Alley's character was much more interesting than
Shelley
Long's.
I agree, yeah. And I'm still in the Shelley Long seasons. I'm into season 3 now.
Have you seen the Modern Family episodes with her, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, she's brilliant.
Oh, she's great.
Modern Family, yeah, she's great. Ronnie, what did you say your current show was?
Oh, it was Fringe.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, because what happened is I got derailed like in the second season, and so I stopped, and then everybody on the podcast kept talking about it, and I just haven't had a chance to go back and catch up.
Yeah, season 3 is out of the
must catch up. Is
off the chain. So.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ronnie. I jumped back into Fringe with season 3, having given up on it. So
you gave up during season 2.
I gave up in season 1.
Okay,
season 1, I can understand.
Season 1 was erratic.
Yeah, but I dove back in with season 3 having not watched everything in between. So I'm playing catch up as well.
All right. Okay. So what we'll do is we'll go offline and take a vote and see how what people think. Mm-hmm. And
we'll put some polls up on Facebook.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Yeah. Show me how to do the poll because I am Facebook incompetent.
I'm an admin on the Facebook page. I can do it.
All right, cool. So we'll do that. And so we'll vote. And maybe if you guys come to our Facebook, you could probably, they can vote, right?
Yeah. We can set up a whole poll and then have people start voting on it. Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be great. All right.
So we got a good list of shows to start with, and we can add more as we go.
Cool. Right. So let's wrap this up. If you have any feedback, send it to us at tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @tvcampfire, and we are on Facebook.
Yes.
And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.